So, if I have a title, it will be Stand as One, Stand Together, Stand United. So what do you think I'm going to talk about today? Standing, exactly. It's behind you. It's like being in a pantomime. So, for some reason, I do feel nervous today, and I don't know if it's because there's a word that's going to be in season or it's just because I'm feeling inadequate. Whatever it may be, I want to say to us as a ministry that as we stand together, as we stand as one, as we stand united, there is something that happens within the heavenlies as well as with us. So when one of us is ill, the Bible says when one part of the body is sick, then we all need to pray. When one body part of the body rejoices, we all rejoice, yes? So I want to read a handful of scriptures and just try and bring out what's on my heart. Because whenever I read something, whenever I watch the news, whenever I listen to a podcast, whatever it may be, it seems to be talking about unity. It seems to be talking about we need to be one on this. It seems to be that when there's a problem, if only one person stands up instead of a collective standing up, that one person is singled out. And the question is, it's just you then? No, it's not just me. When we look, and I don't preach politically, I just preach truth. And sometimes when we look around us, we can think that we're on our own. We're just as few Christians in this atheistic world set. We're not. We may be a few Christians at times, but there are many people who have the same ethos. They have the same attitude. They understand that they may not be a believer the same as you and I. They may not be those that are followers of Christ, but they understand there's a security in that Judeo-Christian environment that's been fought for through World War I, World War II, and actually fought for through the blood of Jesus Christ. So they have an understanding of what they don't want, but some people are not able to stand upon their principles because they have a shaky foundation. But you and I, we have a solid foundation. Listen what Jesus says in Matthew 10:22. You will be hated by everyone because of me. Great, this is good news, isn't it? But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So when we're talking about standing, there's a term that says stand up and be counted, yes? Now there are times where we're unable to stand because of ill health or whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritually and sometimes physically. If you're in a room, I was in a room here some time ago, and there was a meeting with the trustees, not our trustees, the village hall trustees. If anyone happens to listen to this who was in that meeting on tape, then they'll know exactly what I mean by this. And when I say that one member, one lady was being berated by everyone else, I'm understating it. And nobody would stand up for the truth. So I stood up. I stood up and spoke the truth. Many, many people in that room felt the same as me, and they only said so when they left. Now, that's what I'm talking about, standing together. Because if we stand together as a church, if we stand together as a community of believers, then the Bible will tell us what is possible for us. So we need to stand firm, and not just stand firm now. We need to stand firm until the end, because the Bible talks about standing so much. And I want to bring it and use scripture, and sometimes bend it a little bit, but hopefully you'll get what I'm trying to say. In Matthew 12:25, Jesus knew the thoughts, and when he was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he'd already have the answer to their question before they even asked it. And that's for me and you. If we're going to stand in this turbulent time, we need to know what the Bible says before someone asks the question. What does the Bible say about this? Well, it says that. It's not my opinion. That's what scripture says. You can stand upon the truth, but you cannot stand upon shaky foundations. So Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every household divided against itself cannot stand. So if you're saying that I'm ruled by Beelzebub, who are you ruled by? If we are divided in our household, if you have a divided relationship, it won't stand. If you have a divided relationship, parent and child, it's going to have difficulties. If you have division within church, it's going to be a difficult one. In the workplace, a difficult one. We don't have to all say yes to the same things, but there need to be some principles. Do good to others as they do unto you. Forgive, even if they don't deserve it. Give, and not just receive. And these are principles that we stand upon. And if we are undivided, it means we're not divided, we're united, doesn't it? It means that when someone is missing from church, hopefully someone says, "How's so-and-so?" I hope they're well. Why? Because they're part of a body. So we're talking about us here in Grace Community Church. We're talking about our families, our workplaces. You know, we can go into the workplace. You could be in an environment like I was brought up in, where I learned very quickly that I'm going to keep my opinion to myself. And when I need to defend something, I will go and do a one-on-one and defend. So story goes, in this workplace I was in, every time we had a complaint, I would go in, say to Tommy, who was our boss, "Tommy, we're not happy about this. You're the only one then." Then I quickly realized that I need to speak on behalf of myself. Because I've always said to myself, I don't know about you, if I found something that I believed in, I would be able to speak about it. And I'm not into sport, I'm not into politics, I'm not into much. But when I see scripture and I believe that it's true, then I can speak about it. And it's the same when I believe about something passionately, if there's an offense or there's something that is wrong within the world, within the culture we live in, I'm willing to say so. I'm willing to say so, but I'm representing me. I'm not representing them. But when I speak of God's word, I'm representing him. So I need to know that he's in me. So I'm not on my own. So I'm not just standing on my own. I'm standing and Christ is in me. And that's what I want to get through. So we're at work and we're having this conversation about work boots. Now, bear with me. It was in the days of toughened glass, where windscreens used to shatter into 1,000 pieces. And our boots used to get shredded to bits within a month because we're dealing with this glass. And around the table, it was discussed about we need to have a boot allowance and it's not fair that our boots are getting cut. So I went in to see the boss and I said, "Tommy, can I have a word?" And he says, "Yes." And I said, "About a boot allowance." And he said, "So is everyone complaining about this?" I said, "I'm speaking on behalf of myself." He said, so just you? I said, "Just me." "So what do you want?" I said, "I want a boot allowance." He said, "There'll be £17 in your wage slip. And I only earn £8 a week. £17 in your wage slip towards boots." And when I went back in, I had a smile on my face. They asked why. And they said, "Are we having a boot allowance?" I said, "No, we're not. I am." But when it comes to church, we should be able to speak on behalf of every single believer. We should not just be speaking on behalf of myself. It's behalf of us. And that's why it's important to listen to what's being said so you can say, "Yes, amen, this is truth." And then you can stand upon the truth. Because there'll be times within church life. The Bible talks about false teachers all the time. It's not for me to tell you who they are, it's for you to discern. But the Bible tells us that not everything can you stand upon, but you can stand upon the truth. So I want us to be united and I want us to stand upon God's promises. In Mark 4, verse 21, "Do you bring a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand?" Now, it's a different type of stand. But when you look at this stand, S-T-A-N-D, it's the same spelling as stand as I'm standing now. But what happens with a stand is higher than everything else. Else it wouldn't be a stand. So we understand if I put a vase on this stand, it's something that's elevated. And when we rise out of our chairs, when we get up out of our beds, we stand up. And in this particular portion of scripture, it says, don't hide what God has given you. And there's times where he wants us to stand. And that means that when everyone else is sitting and you're the only person that's standing, guess what? All eyes are going to be on you. But I want you to know this, that if you are a believer, then you don't stand on your own. You stand because Christ is in you. Because Christ goes right through you from the top to the bottom, from the right to the left. Christ is in you. So as we have opportunities to stand in the natural, let's be encouraged that we also have that spiritual standing because Christ has already accomplished it for us. In John 8 verse 15, "You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true. Because I am not alone." This is Jesus speaking. "I stand with the Father who has sent me." I stand with the Father who has sent me. When we say on the test, there's laws that are set, and they're on the testimony of two or three people. You know, when you look through the Old Testament, the testimony of two or three people, it's done. If two or three people lie about someone else, they can still get stoned. That's not justice, but it's still on the testimony of two or three people. Even in our court system today, there's a witness program in the sense that if you can get two or three witnesses, either character or in person, to say, no, he wasn't there, he was with me, or she wasn't there, she was with me, and you get two or three people testify, it's a powerful thing. And Jesus is saying, listen, I don't say things on my own. I don't stand here as one. I stand here with the Father. And when we look at the Trinity through Scripture, it's another sermon for another day. It's three in one. You know, Jesus says, I don't do what I want to do. I do what the Father calls me to do. So I don't stand here today speaking what I want to speak. I speak what the Father wants me to speak, in the sense of we look at what Scripture says. It's a foundation in which we can stand upon. If we don't have a foundation, we can't stand. You know the term of quicksand. What happens with quicksand? You can't stand on it. And there's a parable, there's a story in Scripture that talks about building a house on the sand and building a house on the rock. You know the story. But something very important that we need to illustrate is when you look at those two structures, those two buildings, I guess if they were built by the same people, with the same architect, with the same materials, they'd look the same. Yeah? They both look the same. It's not until the wind and the waves came, it's not until adversity struck that one collapsed because it was built upon sand and not rock. If your life is built upon rock, then when you stand, you may look the same as the next person. You may speak the same as the next person. You may have the same vocabulary and the same language. But the difference will come when the wind of adversity enters your life. When you're questioned about your morality. When you're questioned about, do you believe that Jesus is the only way? Then when adversity comes, you'll be able to stand, but everyone else will fall. So Jesus was not on his own, and he'll encourage us through Scripture. You'll find out as we go through these that he's in us too. In Acts 4, verse 10, then know this, and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. When you look at this story, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have I give to you. Get up and walk. It's not by our power. We can pray for someone and we can see them miraculously healed. We're not the healer, are we? But we stand upon a foundation that says that we can pray because Christ is in us. And we don't stand alone. We don't pray on our own. We pray because the Father has given us the Holy Spirit. That when Jesus died and went back to the right hand of the Father, he didn't leave us as orphans. That's what the Bible says. He gave us the Comforter. Why did he give us the Comforter? Because we'd need comfort. So we're not on our own. So it's when we work on God's behalf, he's there with us. That's one of the points I want to make. When we stand for him, we're not on our own. We're encouraged through Matthew 7, verse 8. It says this, for everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. You see, all of my colleagues wanted the same boot allowance, but they weren't willing to ask, they weren't willing to seek, and they weren't willing to knock. But they expected the same reward. Now, here's the unfortunate thing for some born-again, spirit-filled Christians. It's not fair that they still get the sun that I get, yet they don't believe in God. They still get the rain on their crops that I get, but they don't believe in God. You see, there's a time when God is pouring out his blessing on all people, but it's only going to be the one who stands, the one who seeks, and the one who knocks. That's going to be the one who will stand before the judgment seat and be found innocent. So it may not seem fair in this world, but God is encouraging us. The one who seeks will find. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. So when there's an opportunity to stand with someone who's standing for the truth, stand with them. Whether in prayer or practically or financially. You can't be where they are, but you can pray for them. You can't do what they do, but you can pray for them. You can't give what they give, but you can pray for them. You can stand as one. You can send an email. You can send an old-fashioned thing, which, what's it called, a letter. You can send a carrier pigeon and say, I'm standing with you, brother. Now, we know what you mean. You're not standing with me. You're not beside me, but you are there in spirit. Why? Because we're one family. Where one part hurts, we all hurt. When one's encouraged, we're all encouraged. But we need to be reminded that perseverance is part of the joy of Christian living. Because if at first you don't succeed, don't give up. Persevere. Remember the story of the widow, the persistent widow. She came time and time again and petitioned and petitioned. And eventually, in the human sense, gave in. Well, God already wants to answer your question. He wants to know if you want the answer. And that's why at times he asks you to repeat it. Do you really want? Lord, I want to see your power. Do you really want to see my power? Lord, I want to speak your word in season and out of season. Do you really? Lord, I want to be your spokesman in my workplace. Do you know what you're asking for? So as we seek, as we knock, God understands our heart is for him. And if we are for him, we know that he is for us. You see, he saved us before we were born again. He saved us while we were yet still sinners, the Bible says. In Genesis 11:6, this is a portion of scripture that's always spoken to me. This is about the Tower of Babel, where God came and confused languages. But just, this is a negative, but I want to turn it into a positive. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, because they'd all spoken the same language, they were all making the same bricks with the same materials, they were building a tower to say, look, we can be equal to God. And God came down and he said, if as one people, is that one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. So the moral of this story is this. Because they were united, because they were speaking as one person, one tribe, one language, there's nothing that they couldn't accomplish. And you know what? There's times where you want to build a brick wall, but you're the laborer and you're the craftsman. And it takes you longer to do because you're mixing cement and you're laying the bricks. But when we come together, portion of scripture, when we look at the rebuilding of the wall and you look at Jeremiah's story, I find it fascinating that there's words in there that really encourage me, like everything was full of rubble and their enemy said, there's so much rubble, surely they won't be able to build the walls. But Jeremiah says, we're going to use that rubble in order to have the materials to build the walls. But I want you to have a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. And as they came together as families, it says one family rebuilt the fish gate and so on and so on and so on. They came together. There was someone watching their back as they was working forward. And that, as church, if we did this, there's nothing that we can't accomplish. If you join together with your loved ones, you imagine one family where all of them are united. All of them are united. There's nothing that they can't accomplish together. Because one person may have this and another person may have that. And when they share it, they have an abundance. It's the same spiritually. You know, can you imagine being in a prayer meeting and there's a diversity of thoughts? So we're praying, Lord, would you bless Fred? We don't have a Fred in church, do we? Lord, would you bless Fred because he's having a hard time? And someone else goes, Lord, you know Fred is a real waste of time. And someone else says, Lord, you know that Fred is a lovely person, really. And he does give to the poor. And then another person says, yeah, but Lord, you haven't seen what Fred does at the weekends. That's not unity, is it? But it's not spoken out loud, but sometimes it does happen. Not in our church, I'm glad to say. But it does happen. We pray out our thoughts loud. We pray them out loud. But when we come together in unity, Lord, bless Fred. Lord, open his eyes. Lord, soften his heart. Lord, prosper him that he may be prosperous and bless others. Now, that's a good prayer, isn't it? That's a prayer of unity. But it doesn't let Fred get away with anything. Because as the light of the love of the Lord shines upon him, it brings conviction. And then suddenly he says, I've wronged. Forgive me. So let's speak the same language. In Romans 6:1, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? So this portion of scripture is saying, you know, where there is sin, grace abounds. So you think, well, that's good. The more I sin, the more grace I can have. Well, that's not how it goes, really. It says, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live to it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus was baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in his death like this, then we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we would no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if I died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, we cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin but alive. You see, we're not on our own. We've been given a new life, a new opportunity. So as we walk through life, if you start to see the things that I see, and you start to hear the words, let's unite around this, let's stand for this, make sure we unite around something that is pure and wholesome. Make sure we stand for what is right and not what is wrong. Because we can have a collective census and stand for evil. And sometimes evil happens, what do they say? Because good men do nothing. You know, there's a portion of scripture where it talks about the 11th-hour worker, and I'm encouraged by it because there's certain words that you can play on there. And in one portion of scripture, the landowner, and if you imagine Jesus has sent his representative, God has sent his representative Christ to come into the harvest fields and pull people into his harvest. And he goes to this place of work and he says, why have you been standing here idle all day? Because nobody wants to hire me. You come and work in my vineyard. Now, when you look at that word idle, you can look at it within the English in two ways. You can look at it as idle, as in I can't be bothered. I'm standing here because someone told me to, and I can't be bothered to do anything. That's why I haven't been hired. Or I have everything to offer. Everything is ready to go. A bit like an engine in a car sitting at the traffic lights, idling. And just the occasional flip on the accelerator. Or do you not do that? An occasional flip and you just hear the roar of the engine. The traffic lights turn to green and you stall. Now the traffic lights turn to green and off you go. You've been idling. Everything is ready and you just need the word to go. So when we look at standing for truth, when we look at standing up for what is right, when we understand that we've died to sin and we live for Christ and we live for righteousness, everything that God died for, everything that was accomplished on the cross, all that power and authority, the Bible says, is in me and you. We have that power under the hood, just idling, ready to go. So when God says stand, then we can stand. And if he tells you to stand, I want to be able to stand with you if it's for something that is true. But we need to be a people that will stand, pray, give, whatever it may be, in whichever way you see standing, for righteousness. And stand against unrighteousness. I used to get in trouble time and time again because I would be that person, that voice. And I didn't understand it at the time. I just knew the difference between right and wrong. And I would say, what about the widows and orphans? That's not right. And because no one else stood with me, I thought I was wrong for years until I got hold of this food. Got hold of this word, and suddenly everything that I grew up with made sense. Everything, the morality that I had, it wasn't instilled through my father because he died when I was very young. It was just in me, in my DNA. I've been made by the Lord. I've been put together, knit together in my mother's womb for such a time as this. And yet whenever I spoke up for justice, I got shouted down, so I thought I was wrong. And I kept my mouth shut until God put this in my hands. And now we can stand for the truth, and you can stand for the truth. And I trust that some of this is making sense. In Mark 12, 29, it says this, the most important one. We're talking about what's the important command. And it says this. The important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord is one. You see, there is no other God other than Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh. There's one God, one Lord, one Savior. So if we're going to stand, we need to stand on that truth, that there's only one way. There's only one way, and it's through Christ. There's only one gate, and it's narrow. There was a great message I could have preached to Susan on the way to Mevagizzi, or the small roads. I'm going, there's a narrow road. And it leads to life. And do you know what? On this narrow road, as we're traveling, when we got to the end of this narrow road, it opened up into a wide oasis of bountiful, plentiful oceans, fish, whatever the sea had to offer. It brought life. People, person after person. But going through that narrow road, I would have liked to have stopped and turned around and gone somewhere wider. It's the same with the Christian. There are times that we want to stop and let me get off and let's go into that bountiful field where there seems to be plenty of everything. Why do you want me on this narrow road? Because there'll come a time where that narrow road will lead us to that bountiful life. And the life in all its fullness is what God offers us. So we're not alone. We're not standing on our own. Christ is in us. I want to encourage you. Romans 15, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had. Our prayer is that we have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father and Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't about you siding with me or me siding with you. It's about Christ. If we can agree that we have the same attitude as Christ, that we want to forgive. We want to forgive. Lord, help me. I do believe, said the disciples. Help me overcome my unbelief. God just wants us to be real with him. Lord, I can't do this on my own. Good, because I'm with you. You're not on your own. Yeah, but when I stand, I'm the only voice. No, you're not, because I'm in you. If I'm in you, I will give you the words to speak, Scripture says. So we're not on our own. So as we go forward into these weeks and months, let's realize that we can stand together as a church. We can stand together as family. We can stand together as a body of believers, knowing that we're not on our own because Christ is with us. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 6, yet for us there is but one God, the Father of from whom all things came and for whom we live, and there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ. See, they're not my words. They're his words. There's one God and there's one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. You see, there are many people that will say, I serve one God, but they don't make that God their Lord. You see, because when we make God Lord, he's Lord over everything. He's not just Lord over one thing. When you have a king who had power, he was king over all the kingdom, not just part of the kingdom. And we can say as Christians or those that attend church from time to time, in the sense of some people that call themselves religious, that there is one God, but don't touch this part of my life. There is one God, but don't bring that past up. There's one God, but you don't understand what they've done to me. No, there's one God and there's one Lord. And when we understand there's one God and one Lord, that's the point that he helps us. That's the point where he's in us and he reminds us that we're not on our own, that you can do this because he is in you. In Galatians, oh, I've got loads of time left. Galatians 3:26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. You see, in Christ Jesus, so often we can just miss this. So in Christ Jesus, in Christ, you are all children of God through faith. See, at one time you put your faith not in a man, not in a belief system, but you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And something happened on the inside. It says this, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." So when you get dressed in the morning, you put something on, yes? When we look through Scripture, it talks about a robe of righteousness. You know, the parable of the two sons and one that went off and squandered. When he came back, the father put a robe around him. That's a symbol of righteousness. You're right with the Father. And God gives us a robe of righteousness when we repent and accept him as Savior and Lord. So we've been clothed with this robe. Clothe yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed. Now this isn't talking about certain ideologies that we are introduced to today. When it says there's neither male nor female, what it's saying, neither slave nor free, we are equal within Christ. You see, when it comes to men and women, believe it or not, we are equal in value. But there are some men that are stronger than some women, and some women that are stronger than some men. There are some men that are smarter than some women, and lots of women that are smarter than most men. But that's a story for another day. But we're different, but we're equal, aren't we? We're equal in value. God loves us equally. And that's what this scripture is saying. It's not saying there's a load of non-binary people around. It's saying that we are equal in value. There is no hierarchy. We don't need a priest in order to petition God. We go direct to him. Why? Because he lives in us. It is finished. He fills us. Daniel 3:14. Why have I put this in, I hear you ask? I'll tell you. So you got Nebuchadnezzar, he's saying, listen, you bow down, you worship me, or you're dead. And there's situations in the UK at the moment that if you don't bow down and worship the idol, then you're cut off. You lose your job, you lose your bank account, you lose your friends. There are opportunities to be spiritually cut off in this day and age in this country, sadly. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had an opportunity to save themselves. Now, I don't know the conversation, but I'm going to be poetic here and say they had a conversation, and Shadrach says, well, I'm not going to bow down, and Meshach says, well, I'm not going to bow down, and Abednego says, well, I'd rather bow down, but I'm going to vote with you. And they all go to the king, and they say this, we will not bow down and worship you. Our God is able to save us. However, even if he does not, I'm not going to bow down and worship. And there'll be times in our life where we will be threatened with something. It could be as mundane as a relationship. If you don't support what I support, I can't support you. I'm not going to bow down. My God is able. But even if he doesn't. And I know that don't sound too encouraging, but it is encouraging because we know that if we stand together, those three faithful men had each other as well as the God that they serve. You know, I know that if I try to do something on my own, I will do it, but it's hard. And if there's two of us, it's a lot easier. If there's three of us, happy days. You know, if I was putting a long length of wood up on my own, I'd put a screw there, I'd put that end up, I'd walk over to this end, put it up, screw that in, get a spirit level and go and screw that in. But if it was me and Arthur together, he could hold that up for me. How much more spiritually? So when they're going through this tough time, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego is a great example. We don't hear it very often. Of three friends, faithful men, that understood that the God they serve is the God that is able. Imagine if you're going through something which is trauma for you. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be not trauma for me, but trauma for you. And you say, Pastor, will you stand with me? I'll stand with you. Do you mind if I share it in prayer? We'll stand with you. Then you know you're not on your own. So when there's times where you go, I'm just too wary to pray about this anymore, we'll pray for you. We'll hold your arms up, one on the right, one on the left, and we'll stand in the gap. Why? Because we're a family, we're united. Remember, stand as one, stand together, stand united. But if you stand as one outside of Christ, then you're only one. But if you stand as one with Christ, then you're more than one. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So our final scripture in Mark 12:29, the most important one. So we're talking about that scripture I read earlier. What's the most important commandment? It's not attend church every week. That's good to do so. That's not give of your finances. That's good to do so. It's not always be a forgiving person. That's good to do so. The most important one says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The Lord is one. And he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So I want to finish as I started with prayer. And just pray for us as a church. Just pray for us. Be thankful for one another that we don't stand on our own here. We are together. And if you bring something to the collective, we will stand with you. If you find yourself isolated, we will rally around. If you find yourself in a battle that you can't fight on your own, we will stand with you and fight that battle through scripture, through prayer, through practical help. And if need be, through practical strength. So Father God, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you that we're not on our own, but you live in us. And Lord, we want to stand together and we want to stand united. And we ask you, Lord, to bless us this day. Open our eyes as we go out into this jungle called the world. That, Father God, that we would know that we're not on our own. That you love us, that you encourage us, that you correct us, you speak to us, and you empower us. And you've given us the weapons of warfare. You've given us the sword of the Spirit. So, Father God, we thank you this day. Amen. Amen.